الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وقل اعملوا فسيرى الله عملكم ورسوله والمؤمنون وستردون إلى عالم الغيب والشهادة فينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. In this ayat kareema, Allah tabaraka ta'ala, like the whole Quran Sharif, what a beautiful kitab, what a wonderful kitab of guidance and showing us the correct path. Allah says so, and so positive the Quran Sharif is, and no beating around the bush, straight and direct. وَقُلْ O Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, announce and say, اَعْمَلُ, make amal. We are here in this world for amal. So Allah says, make, وَقُلْ اِعْمَلُ, make amal. فَسَيَّرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ, Allah Ta'ala sees your amal. Allah sees every amal of a person, whether it is his intention, in his heart, in his mind, what he thinks, what he is doing, in public, in private, in whichever form, wherever, Allah Ta'ala is watching all the time. وَرَسُولُهُ, and our actions are presented to Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam. As we are living here in this world, regularly our amal are presented to Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ, they are presented to our parents also. Our parents have passed away, our amal, our good and bad deeds are presented there also. So every person, if he just thinks of that, that all what I'm doing, my report is going, Allah is watching, Allah is, the full report is by Allah all the time. Then the kiram and katibin are writing down everything, the parts of the body are writing down, all good and bad, full record is being kept. The place where I do whatever action, it is also kept there. And then it is, the report is going to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And it's going to my parents also. And to our asatiza, righteous, pious people, our mashayikh, our report is being presented. The person was bad to a sheikh, for example. Sheikh passed away. Now you turn around and you go in a different direction. How will that sheikh feel when he gets your report? This was my close murid. I made so much effort on him. And today he's doing the opposite of all what I taught him. So all that we must think, my ustad thinks, I taught my student all the right things. And now he's doing the complete opposite of all what I taught him. Parents will think, I brought them up with great hope. How much I sacrificed for them. The mother, how much she sacrificed. The father. And now they're doing all this. Think for ourselves, what a how lot of hurt we are causing to the to Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, how much he sacrificed for us. When Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam went to Taif and he invited the people towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, they started stoning him. They put all the young, like the hooligans, wild people behind Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, chasing him away. Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam fell down unconscious. They had to sprinkle water on his face, then he came back to his senses. And what did he say? The Farishta of the mountains, who is in charge of the mountains, came to Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam and said that you just give me permission. I have come by the permission of Allah and I will crush this people between the mountains. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, I hope that from their progeny there will be the people who will accept the kalima, who will go, become eligible to go to Jannat. And that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not want them to be crushed by the mountains here, and neither did he want them to be crushed in the qabr, that the rubs of one side go into the rubs of the other side. That was the concern of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And after that, after gaining consciousness, again he went and invited them. He said, I'm the true Nabi of Allah. Listen to me. How you people are throwing stones and chasing me away and torturing me and punishing me like this, not punishing, hitting me like this, that it must, I don't want that you must be punished like this in the qabr. I don't want you to be punished like this in Jahannam. That is why I'm the true Nabi of Allah. I'm giving you the true message. But today, that same deen which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sacrificed for so much, we are chasing that deen away from our homes. How much of Islam in our homes? How much of Islamic practices in our homes? And in our marriages, what kind of marriages? We are chasing, we are stoning the sunnahs of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from our marriage. And in our marriages, dare somebody say, keep it simple, keep it according to sunnah. And anyone who says, make it like the Jews and the Christians and all the other terrible things we all, from our businesses we are chasing away the deen of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He sacrificed so much, and even when he was stoned, he said that I don't want you to be stoned. I don't want you to suffer in the qabr. I don't want you to suffer on the day of Qiyamah. And by the barakat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's dua, that Muhammad ibn Qasim, al-Thaqafi, he was from the tribe of the people of Taif, and the son-in-law of Nabi of Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. And he is the one who conquered India, Pakistan, all this whole area. And through his barakat, after 1400 years, we are Muslims today. And all the Islam of the Muslims of the subcontinent, all that sawab is in the account of Muhammad ibn Qasim al-Thaqafi. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how much he tolerated. But what are we doing today? So anyway, our amal are presented to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. وَسَتُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ. And you are not going to stay here forever in this world, which is the realm of ghayb, where we don't see Allah, we don't see Jannat and Jahannam, we don't see the life of the qabr. We are not going to stay here. We return. وَسَتُرَدُّونَ. Undoubtedly, definitely, you are going to be returned to that realm, to that world, to that universe of Alimul Ghaybi wa Shahada, where everything now will be Shahada. And the dunya things now will go into the Ghayb. That is, you are going to be returned to Allah Ta'ala. وَسَتُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ. Then, فَيُنَبِّيُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah will inform you of all what you had done. All the records will come. Whatever you spoke, whatever you looked at, whatever you heard, whatever you thought, whichever place you did that action, day or night, wherever it was, all that will come out. And you will be informed this, and the most finest details will be brought also. It will be brought out. It is said the king who was on his dying bed, and he was afraid that I'm going to be alone in my qabr. So he said that, have the announcement made in my kingdom that whoever is prepared to sleep with me in the qabr the first night, then after I die, my whole kingdom, he can take it. It will belong to him. So everyone is frightened for the qabr. People are frightened to pass the qabristan also. Even at night, day also, they don't want to. People don't want their houses near the qabristan. They are frightened for, you know, to sleep the first night in the qabr. And this is just a story. The moral and lesson is important. So one poor person who had absolutely nothing, no family, no house, just sleeping outside under the tree on the pavement somewhere, all he had was one sickle, to cut grass, a sickle, and a string. That's all what he possessed, and his little clothes, hardly any spare clothes. Just this one pair that he wears, that's all what he's got. So he thought, overnight I can become the king. This is the ideal opportunity. Let me opt for this. Let me accept this offer. One night to sleep in the qabr, and after that whole life I'll be the king. So he was prepared. So the king died. They buried him with the king. As I say, this is just a story, but then the lesson is important. So when Kiram and Munkar Nakir came in the qabr to question him, they saw two customers. Always we get one customer, one person who has passed through, two customers. And they saw one is living and one is dead. They said the dead person can't run away, but the living person can escape. Let us start with him first. So they started with him, And they asked him, amongst the questions that will be questioned, what did you own, possess, what did you earn? How did you earn it? Where did you spend it? So what did you have? And like is the habit of almost every richest person, poorest person, I got nothing. We look at people who got much more, I got nothing. No matter how rich we are, we still say, I got nothing. And no matter how much we got, we want more. So we are still poor all the time. So no, you must have had something. And when you are being interrogated like this, even forget the Kiram and the Munkar and Nakir. Yeah, in this world, if the public prosecutor cross-examines you, and there are certain of the lawyers, and when they cross-examine you, you wish you could just sink in the ground. And you are innocent also, but the way they will put it, you get surprised and shocked yourself. In your own business, your own accountant asks you, this money, where did it go to? Now, it's like he's making you a crook. It's your own money, you spend it, but now the way he's questioning you, you start sweating under your collar. And you think, I'm the crook. And the Kiram and the Munkar Nakir in the Qabr, what will be that questioning? So anyway, finally he said, all I had was the sickle and one string. They said, okay, that is what you had. And let's leave the string one side. The sickle is made of two parts, the handle and the blade. Leave the blade one side. Let us start with this handle. Where did you get this handle? Now some 30, 40, 50 years ago, when? He can't remember also. Now you have to answer there. And in fine detail for every namat of Allah. Today consider just in our toilet how many ornaments we got. For each one we'll have to answer, where did you get it? Why did you keep it? What did you do? How did you get it? Our bathrooms, how many unnecessary things? If we have to look, forget the ladies, the men, the number of shoes we got, the amount of clothes we got, for everything in detail. Let us alunna yawma idhin anin na'im, all the namats of Allah which you had enjoyed, the cold water you drank, you'll be asked about that. The hot coffee and tea you enjoyed, you'll be asked about that. Everything. So now, that handle, where you got it? With all his sweating and thinking and like a student writing an exam paper, and he thinks so hard, what is the answer here? Scratching his head that it may come out somewhere from his head, the answer. Krapkop. So much is now. So then he said that one day I was walking through some land, and from there, from a tree, that did you have permission to walk past? Whose land was it? Were you trespassing? You broke this from a branch of a tree. You had permission to break it. And in any case, then after that you made your handle. How did you make it? Which tools did you use? Even if they were some primitive tools of stone or something, or some iron pieces, where did you get that from? Where can a person remember all that detail? And you'll be questioned in detail of all those things. And then by that time, they said, now you still have to answer about the steel blade and about the grass. Then it was already morning. They dug up the grave to take him out and a red carpet treatment. And they told him, you the king. He said, nay, Reba, this is not for me. I couldn't answer for one handle, and for the whole kingdom there I must go and answer. So what will be, as it comes in the hadith, the poor will enter Jannah by 500 years before the rich. And their 1 year will be 1,000 years. So how long? The rich, what all their things, yeah, for a few years, 20, 30 years, 40 years, you enjoy your riches perhaps. Not even 40 it comes. A person, old age comes, sicknesses come, he can't even enjoy his own money. And then there, in the qabr, what will be the condition? On the day of Qiyamah, what will be the condition? So there we will, تُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. There then you will be informed of all what you had done. The reports are going already beforehand. All the reports are there. Allah knows everything. And the reports will be by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Reports will be by our parents. And then we will be returned there, and now accountability. Where every detail and every proof of everything will be to the T, 100% watertight evidence will be there in front of us. What will be our condition? So as far as making amal, it's up to us. We can do good amal and send forward. We can do bad amal, yeah, it is mutlaq, وَقُلِ عَمَلُوا, make amal. But now it is for us that what amal you want to do, what actions you want to do, good or bad. And don't leave it empty also. It is like we are on the platform of a railway station, which is the platform of our life in dunya. And our goods train, which is taking all our goods, our amal, is moving along with us on the platform. And now we have to fill in there as much as we can. We don't fill in anything, the train is going empty. For example, at night we slept, we didn't make any du'as, nothing. We just slept like that in ghaflat, that part of our journey, where the train is going empty. If we were looking on our cell phone and dirt and filth, and we don't know when the cell phone even fell from our hand, and we fell asleep, that whole night we are filling snakes in that train of ours. The flames of Jahannam we are filling in that train of ours. If we are reading our du'as and we fell asleep, we were trying to observe as many sunnahs, all the sunnahs of sleeping, and we fell asleep, the whole night we are putting roses, we are putting gardens beneath which rivers are flowing. We are putting wonderful food and wonderful fruit. We are putting the wonderful damsels of Jannat in that train of ours. And it's moving, and we are walking along it also. At the end of the platform is the end of our life. And the train also, the last coach is there, and now we have to jump in there. And now the strain of ours, what all our goods of life, وَقُلِ عَمَلُوا, all our amal are in there. Good also, bad also. And which we let go empty, that part of the train is empty also. The first stop of the train is in the qabr. And we will be there, and then all our amal will be there with us also. All our good amal will be also, and that is also with all the conditions done with sincerity. And we didn't destroy it by speaking about it afterwards, etc. All that. And all our evil intentions, for that no niyat is required also. And you can't destroy your bad amal when you speak about it. You make it worse. It becomes worse if you speak about it. So all that will be in the qabr. So we all have to consider which direction, what we are doing in our life. And the short life we have got, really a life of about 20, 30 years. If we got a life of 60, 70 years, 15 years goes when we not even matured. We are left with about 50 years. And in that 50 years, if we do live, how many years of sickness come and all other. We got a very little while to do amal. And in this little while, we have to prepare for the akhirah. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَقُلِ عَمَلُوا, make amal. وَقُلِ اعْمَلُوا فَسَيَّرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ, Allah is watching your amal. وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ, your Rasul, your report is given there also. Now presently our reports go to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how fortunate for those people who send Durood Sharif. Then our name is taken by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That so and so, the son or daughter of so-and-so, our father's name is taken. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had taught us that you must give presents to one another. Tahadu, tahabu. It increases the love for the people, that you should have love for your parents. There is no Father's Day and Mother's Day continuously. There is no day that only one day you give your wife a present. No, continuously you should exchange presents. This increases the love. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was the most who practiced on what he preached. And he should also, whenever anyone gave him a present, he should also give something in return. And he said, give better than what was given to you. And if you don't have, then at least say, Jazakumullah khairah. So our amal are presented to Durood Sharif. If our Quran Sharif tilawat we make, we give some sadaqah, we give some lillah, we make some nafal namaz, and we present it to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a gift, Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives us a better gift. And a spiritual gift, the more love for deen, the more understanding of deen, which we can understand in the dua, Allahumma habib ilayna al-Iman. Love of Iman will come in us. وَزَيِّنْهُ فِي قُلُوبِنَا. Beautify Iman in our hearts. We become die hearts for Iman. وَزَيِّنْهُ فِي قُلُوبِنَا. وَكَرِّحْ إِلَيْنَا الْكُفْرِ. We will start hating kufr. وَالْعِسْيَانِ. And all sins. وَكَرِّحْ إِلَيْنَا الْكُفْرَ. وَالْعِسْيَانِ.
وَالْفُسُوقِ.
And?
Yeah,
and all fisk and fujur, all the sin, all the sports, where how many whom Allah has blessed us, they couldn't live without the sports. And now they can't think about sports. What a stupid thing, how we wasted our time, our lives, music for example, photos we kept, and then how it becomes hated. So this is when we send this, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sending us gifts from there. And on the day of Qiyamah, at the house of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when some of his ummatis will come, Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will speak to them by their name. They will be surprised. Oh Allah's Rasul, we were born 1400 years after you. How you know our name? We were not in your land. Your durood used to come so much. I was so accustomed to it. Always your durood was coming. And I was told, who is sending this durood? What a great thing to be recognized by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes our name. Yeah, in this world, if we're going to meet some buzurg, and he knew our name, and if he spoke to us taking our name, and kindly spoke, how we feel. This is the greatest of the great. After Allah Ta'ala, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us see what amal we are presenting. So we should see in all our matters how we are reacting. Whether it was, for example, this Ijtima in Camperdown, which according to the report they are giving, their PRO, Public Relations Officer, that it was a success. A success cannot be on batil. If we think of batil is taking place, a dance is taking place, some other evil is taking place, you say it was a success. How can that ever be a success? For example, one thing, and just see how glaring this becomes, that Maulana Saad told that in the Battle of Uhud, 100 Sahaba went with, 1,000 Sahaba went with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the battle. Before that, a mashura took place. And in that, Abdullah ibn Salul, Ra'isul Munafiqeen, the leader of the Munafiqeen, his opinion was that we should not go out of Medina to face the enemy, we should stay in Medina. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after mashura, and decided, no, we should go out and face the enemy. So on the way, he turned back. And with 300 of the Munafiqeen, he turned back. Now Maulana Saad said, 1,000 Sahaba went and 300 Sahaba returned with Abdullah ibn Ubay. Now every kitab, everywhere it is 300 Munafiqeen. Now he's calling the Munafiqeen Sahaba. Just imagine. And this seems to be, which one great alim of Dioban had told, that his mindset has been changed. And it's just his way that he has to speak, that he speaks like this. Now the translator caught up. He first said that 1,000 Sahaba went, but then when he thought he'd have to say 300 Sahaba returned, and he couldn't say that. So he said Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went with 1,000 people and returned with 300 people. And this is all on the clips everywhere. It is no made up story or anything. Anyone can see. And then what was the second thing? In the other one? One other thing, he said with the ayat of the Quran Sharif, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Allah Ta'ala commanded that make mashura with the Sahaba. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ. So he said in one qiraat, it comes وَشَاوِرْهُمَا. That makes mashura with two particular Sahaba. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the reason for doing that, he says that because he wants all to listen to him. The explanation he gives that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, they knew the mizaj of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They knew the mansha, the purpose. So they would give mashura according to that. So he said those who are close to the Amir, they know the mansha and they will give him mashura according to that. Those who are regularly by him, not those who come now and then by him. So all he was doing to bolster the position, his own position. And there now the serious part is that he said that the qiraat wa shawir huma, that the ulama have searched and they asked the experts of qiraat, anywhere there is a qiraat wa shawir huma, they don't find it anywhere. The experts of qiraat don't find it anywhere. Maulana Saad will do us all a great favor and increase our knowledge if he give us the reference. Where is this? And if it is some shah's qiraat, qiraat which is not acceptable, though it's on record, then to quote that and to leave the mashhur qiraat, that doesn't make sense at all whatsoever. Another serious point is, like we know all the tablighi ijtimaat up to now, all the shura tablighi ijtimaat, they are all live streamed. And anyone who has access to them, then after that also, after that they are all on the website. Anyone can access them anywhere. But to find this bayans here is almost impossible. They're just not letting it come out. So what is there to hide? It is the ijtima and the bayans for hidayat of mankind. And that if the more common you make it, the more easily available you make to everyone, the better. But people are struggling to find this. Just a, there's a little but few, somebody who recorded something there and they gave it, that is what they have got. But the whole, the bayans are not available. So we have to be very, very careful. We have to be seeing today the fitnas which are falling like the beads of a broken string of the tasbih. They are coming. Then we find the one radio station where in about 2017 they used the serious words of Maulana Saad being a kafir out of the fold of Islam for what of his statements. And he is increasing all the time. It's not now. More and more he's saying, but now they are promoting him. Go to the ijtima, listen to him. Two completely opposite, contradictory. And what was taught by our elders, the right things, and we hate that in us. And today, why have we changed? Why are we going now and we are encouraging people to go to the ijtima, to the wrong ijtima, and then to listen there, and to take the good and don't take the bad. That doesn't make sense at all. There's a glass of water. I say zamzam in there, but a few urine drops have fallen. So don't drink the urine drops. Only drink the water. It doesn't make sense. Or that we say, allow the Nizamuddin Jamaat in our masjid. If they want to come make namaz, we don't stop anyone. Bidatis come, they also make. But they want to have programs here. They are just speaking 6 points. But finally they're going to make tashkil. And for where they're going to make tashkil? To go to Maulana Saad, to go to Nizamuddin. And if we say don't make tashkil, they are representing Maulana Saad. And we got no enmity, any difference for Maulana Saad or for any person. But the wrong that is being done, and the wrong that is being done to Islam, and the wrong that is being done to the Muslim Ummat, and leading the Muslim Ummat astray, we are constrained, we have no choice but to warn the people. And to try and, we make dua, Allah give them hidayah. They come on the right path. They were all, they themselves, we were on the right path. What our asatizah taught us, all, even Maulana Saad, he was taught all the right things. He wasn't taught all these wrong things. And his ustaz of Maulana Ibrahim Deula, who is still alive, other of his ustaz, they all reprimanded him, corrected him, but he just doesn't want to. And all the other ulama also, they all studied the right things, they said the right things, and now they are changing over. Then we find, for example, we have to be very careful, the UQSA meeting in Zambia that took place. And in there, one person wanted to know about the interfaith matters. And there it was told that interfaith, that we must follow the constitution of our country. And the constitution regards all religions as the same. So we must also accept all religions as the same. And the we know South Africa before 1994, when the apartheid government was there, they had their constitution also. And it wasn't drawn up by any ordinary people, and it wasn't drawn up in a minute or two, but how much of deliberation, how much of, and how they controlled the country with that constitution. But 94, it went down the drain. It was thrown in the dustbin. It was burned. Now that constitution is the worst constitution. How could ever such a constitution be made? So man-made things are doomed to fail. Man hasn't got, doesn't know history fully. Man doesn't know present conditions fully. Man doesn't know tomorrow what is going to happen and how the conditions are going to change. Allah's constitution is absolute. So we forgot Allah's constitution. Allah says clearly in His constitution, Inna Deena Inna Allahil Islam. The only religion accepted by Allah is Islam. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. Whoever will choose any other way of life besides Islam, then what lan Allah say, hargiz nahi, definitely not, it will not be accepted from him. And we say that we must follow the constitution of Ramaphosa, the constitution of Zuma or anyone else, or of Mandela. No, we have to follow the constitution of Allah Ta'ala. So we have to think where our people are leading us. Then in some convention in the UK, GPU, whatever that stands for, there a prominent speaker of South Africa is also quoted. And his audio is played out also, that how he said that for women, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنْ, stay in your homes. Don't go out of your homes. And the laws of hijab, what he was taught, he taught it properly. But how he flipped also and changed. Then came the time when his audio is played, that he cries and says, don't stop our daughters from going to universities. Before he was saying, don't allow them to come out of the house at all. That their duties are as a mother, as a wife, as a sister, all the duties of the woman at home. And now he's crying that don't stop them from going universities. Speaking, and he says that we all must consider all these conditions in Palestine, other parts of the world the Muslims are suffering from. Which guna have we given up? And he says, I have to ask myself, and he's standing in a guna. He's addressing a mixed audience of men and women, looking at them, and they are looking at him. لَعَنَ اللَّهُ النَّاظِرُ وَالْمَنْزُورُ إِلَيْهِ. Allah's curses is on the person who looks at what is haram for him to look at. Your ghair mahram is haram to look at. And you stand in a place, you be in a place where haram, other people who are not allowed to look at you, they are looking at you. And you are asking that which guna did we give up? How blind can a person get? Public is asking. Not the ulama and not pious people. Public, how blind can you get? You are in the guna and you are asking that which guna have we given up? So this is our condition. Allah Ta'ala have mercy upon us. So this is the time where Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said that to hold on to deen will be how kalqabith al-jamara, will be like a person who is holding red burning coal in his hand. But nothing to get so excited about, that how can I practice on that pure deen? I'm not fit, I'm very weak. Red burning coal in my palms, I can't hold it. But the reality of the matter is, those people who do this, Allah Ta'ala makes it for them that they are in the gardens of Jannah. وَزَاهِرُهُ وَبَاطِنُهُ رَحْمَةً وَبَاطِنُهُ فِيهِ رَحْمَةً وَزَاهِرُهُ مِنْ قِبَلِهِ الْعَذَابِ. This is a way Allah has made. On the inside, it is only rahmat, rahmat. From the outside, it looks like azab. Yeah, in this dunya. Those people who are engaged, the sahaba, what big sacrifices they made. For them, they were in the gardens of Jannah. They were enjoying with the Hur al-Een. They were enjoying the food and fruit of Jannah. For the onlooker, it looked like they are suffering. They are going through great difficulty. And this was not only with the time of the Sahaba, many reports of the Palestinian people who are passing away. And what great enjoyment they are getting. And while they are living also, they say, we are happy to stand for Islam. We will die for Islam. It is only a short life, and then we go with martyrdom to Allah and get the high. So whoever will stand for this, it will look like burning coal in his hand. But it will be the gardens of Jannat in his hand. He will be seeing the Hurul Ain there. He will be seeing that I'm marrying the Hurul Ain. He won't be worried. And the bigger the sacrifices, the more the enjoyment in that person. And that is here in this dunya. And when you, all the suffering and pain, it has been described just like a pinch you get. Or just like the needle that goes through you for an injection. Or to draw blood for your blood test. That little pain you feel, that is all. Just like that little mosquito bite. And then it is finished. A mosquito bite also lingers on for about half an hour. But just not even that much, just that tip of it. And after that it is so. You don't have to be frightened. It is all just outwardly. The test Allah Ta'ala makes heavy. Oh Ibrahim, slaughter your son. But Allah makes it so easy that the world till today are slaughtering animals in emulation of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And for him, when he was slaughtering also, it wasn't like what we will think and what we will normally say, the father putting the sword. But the command of Allah is sweet to fulfill. And whenever you do Allah's work and you do it for Allah's pleasure, it isn't that mujahada like for that person. It's just a matter of reaching there, and then you see the great enjoyment in there. It is a pleasure, it is enjoyment. So we must not be frightened to practice upon deen. We must be happy. And when we get there, then we cannot imagine what Allah Ta'ala will give. So Allah says, وَقُلِ اِعْمَلُوا, make amal, do your amal. And you are given the option. You can do good, you can do bad, or you can do nothing. Whatever you want to, وَقُلِ اِعْمَلُوا فَسَيَّرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ, Allah is watching your amal. وَرَسُولُهُ, and Allah's Rasul is watching what amal. They have been presented, think what I'm sending to my Nabi. Yeah, we will talk bad about people who hurt the feelings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But my amal, I'm shaving my beard every time. Like one person who had come from another country to India, and he was a buzurg, a real pious, but he used to shave his beard. So the people, they told him, you're such a great buzurg, and you shave your beard, what is this? So he says, my buzurg is, I don't hurt the feeling of any person. That is my piety. Everyone has got a different criteria of piety, and everyone, what he is doing, he measures himself according to his criteria. The world will measure him from other sources, but he measures himself. So they say that you don't hurt anyone's feeling. Every time you put the blade to your cheek, you are cutting the heart of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a genuine, he realized immediately, he made tawbah. So we have to see that how are we hurting the feelings of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam when our amal are being presented? How we are hurting the feelings of our parents, our asatiza, our mashayikh, and to all the other people who sacrifice. We sacrifice so much for true Islam to come in their lives, and this is what they are sending for us today. And then we are going to be returned there, and then Allah will take us to account. May Allah make us understand, give us tawfiq to practice properly, and not to look down upon anyone, the wrong amal, actions we look down. And we make dua for hidayat of all people. And we make dua, Allah forgive everyone, and Allah bring us all on the right path. It is not a matter of enmity, of scoring point. Nobody wants to become some amir here, or nobody is no power struggle or anything. It is a matter of our fikr of the qabr, akhirah. Then our actions being presented by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How is Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam feeling? And to our parents, to our asatiza, etc. And Allah, the greatest every favor of Allah upon us. And from other our side, we're hurting Allah, we're breaking the laws of Allah, all the time, openly, in front of Allah. We're going against Him, and every ni'mat is only, whatever is by us, is only from Allah, no one else. And yet we break His laws like that. Allah, give us hidayah, give us understanding.